Why don't I pray for us? Father God, we thank you so much for the time we have together. We pray that you would make it valuable and useful, that you would teach us, encourage us, rebuke us where that is necessary, help us ultimately to love Jesus more. Amen. Is it possible to love something just a little bit too much? It's one thing to love Pepsi, I do, as many of you know, but it's another thing altogether to love Pepsi so much that you get the Pepsi logo tattooed permanently onto your body. I mean, that person, he loves Pepsi just a little bit too much, doesn't he? I mean, it's one thing to love Taylor Swift. Many do. I'm sure there's some Swifties in the room. Don't have to put your hand up. But actually, it's another thing altogether to love her so much that you get the same haircut, you wear the same clothes, and you spend lots of money getting plastic surgery to look more like her. That sort of love, it's a bit too extreme, a bit too radical, isn't it? It's one thing to love your local football team so much that you try and make as many games as you can. But it's another thing altogether to leave your wife and children so that you can dedicate yourself to being at every match and every practice. I mean, that guy, he loves his football team far too much. He's too devoted to them. Well, it's definitely possible, isn't it, to love something too much. But our question this morning is it possible to love Jesus too much? Just that little bit too much. Is it possible to be just a little bit too devoted to Jesus? I mean, it's one thing being a Christian in private, but following him in public, is that just a bit too much? It's one thing following Jesus for yourself, but actually wanting your friends and family members to know Jesus, and even maybe trying to tell them about him, isn't that just a bit too much? It's one thing to be praying for those in other countries, but to up sticks and move over there so you can tell them about Jesus, well, that just seems a bit too extreme, a bit too radical, right? It's one thing going to church on Sunday, but on Wednesdays as well, to go through a Bible overview, to spend your Saturday mornings working out Judges so that you can speak about it to the kids. I mean, that just seems a bit extreme, doesn't it? Is it possible to love Jesus too much? Well, that's what we're going to try and find out as we look together at Mark 14. So do have that open if you don't already. Mark 14. What we have in these 11 verses is this beautiful, noble act surrounded by, sandwiched between a cunning and devious murder plot. This is the start of Mark's passion narrative, the narrative of Jesus' death. And it's where Mark starts to turn our eyes, the readers, to the cross of Calvary, where Jesus would give his life as a ransom for many. There's a time stamp in verse 1. It tells us that we're 2 days away from the Passover celebration. So we're T-minus 2 days. Not 2 days from a rocket launch, but T-minus 2 days from something far, far, far more significant. The death of Jesus, the Messiah, the King, Jesus, the Son of God. Verses 1 and 2, the religious, they want him dead. And verses 10 and 11, well, actually their plan is going to start to take shape. But in the middle, right in the middle of this murder plot, this hideous murder plot, Jesus, he's there in Bethany, a town just outside Jerusalem. He's chilling at Simon the leper's house. Presumably Simon, he's a healed leper, now hosting Jesus in his traveling party. But really it's what's next that is really the focus of our passage. Look with me at verse 3. Verse 3 reads, "While he," that's Jesus, "was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured it on his head. An unnamed woman, she approaches Jesus and she puts some perfume on him, right? Wow, bit of an understatement, isn't it? The author, Mark, he wants us to know that she has done far more than that. She hasn't just put on a bit of perfume on Jesus. Notice both the quantity and the quality of her perfume. Notice all the details that Mark includes. This isn't any old jar. This is an alabaster jar. It's a heavy-duty jar. Even if it was empty, it would have been expensive on its own. You'd only use this sort of jar for something precious. And what's in this jar? Nard, a luxury, oily perfume. But it's not just nard, did you notice? It's pure nard. It's not been watered down. This is the expensive stuff, the real deal. This is pure. And in verse 5, we actually get an approximate valuation of this jar of perfume. A whopping 300 denarii. Means very little to us, doesn't it? That 300 denarii, what's that? Well, a denarii was equal to a day's wage. And when you take into account that Jews worked 6 days a week, this is a year's wage, basically. In Lancaster, the average salary for a year, it's apparently just shy of £30,000. £30,000 jar of perfume. Whew, expensive jar of perfume, isn't it? I mean, if you had a £30,000 jar of perfume, I wonder how you'd use it. I presume you'd use it probably in the same way you'd eat very expensive food. Sparingly. When I was living in China, I lived with a very rich Chinese family. I taught their kids English, and one of the perks of the job was that they would take me to eat in very fancy restaurants with them. I remember this specific dish, no idea what it was, but boy did it taste good. So I just ate and ate and ate. They kept bringing more, so I kept eating it. It was great. Little did I know that I was eating a lot of caviar. Quite a lot of caviar. And when I realised that I was filling myself on this very expensive delicacy, I felt absolutely embarrassed. Because that's not how you eat caviar, is it? You have a little. You savour it. You use it sparingly, for it is far too expensive to eat in large quantities. Well, a £30,000 jar of perfume, I'd imagine, is to be used sparingly. Just a few drops here, a few drops there. But in verse 3, we see that the woman wasn't particularly careful or sparing in her application of perfume. It says she broke the jar and poured it on his head. You'd expect her to just maybe lift the lid a little bit, apply some perfume, and then fasten the lid back on, keeping the jar intact so it could store the leftover perfume. But she didn't. She broke the jar. It didn't need to be left intact. There wasn't going to be any leftover. She's going to use it all in one go. She then poured it on Jesus. When was the last time you saw someone pour their perfume on? I can't think of any time I've seen that. I've never seen it. We aren't really told how wealthy this woman was. But given that in verse 8, Jesus says that she did all she could, we're not really to think of this as an insignificant amount for her. As if she had loads of money and had many similar jars just laying around at home. Actually, this could have been her retirement pot, invested in perfume. Could have been her life savings or a family heirloom passed down through generations. It was precious. See, what she did was costly. Extremely costly. She literally just poured £30,000 worth of perfume on Jesus' head. Why? Well, because to her, Jesus was worthy of it. To her, no amount of pure nard perfume would be too much for him. I mean, it's crazy, right? Now, she was very much alone in thinking this way. That's how she thought, but it's not how everyone else thought. We know the story, we had it read. We know that Jesus will go on to say much in verses 6 to 9 about this woman's act of devotion. But forget about that for a moment. Just imagine you're there. You're in the room. And you see a woman, she carries in this big, expensive jar of perfume. Could probably smell her enter in before you could see her. She walks up to Jesus, she breaks the seal of her jar and she pours it out on him. My guess is that you'd be having all the sorts of same thoughts as those who were with Jesus in verses 4 to 5. We aren't told exactly who these people were, but I mean, I presume the disciples were among them. And they considered what this woman did a total waste. I mean, what a waste. I mean, yes, show love and devotion to Jesus. These people were with Jesus. They'd probably understand the desire to show him love and honor him. But to do this, no, that's too much. To pour out £30,000 on his head? No way. Too much, a complete waste. Foolish, dare I say, they might have thought even a stupid thing to do. Financially reckless and utterly pointless. Jesus isn't just going to smell for the next few days. You could have honored Jesus with a little dab or a few drops. Why needlessly pour out the whole thing on him? And think about what could have been done with the money. With the perfume, you could have sold it for money, and that money could have supported the homeless, the weak. The vulnerable. A lot can be done with £30,000. What a waste. What were you thinking? Well, those present, they scolded the woman, saying these sorts of things to her. And if I'm honest, as a frugal, tight, cheapskate, I'm naturally inclined to think very similarly. I mean, it doesn't seem like a great use of resources to me. I mean, it doesn't sound like a super sound financial decision. I'm well aware of all the good that could be done with £30,000. I naturally kind of agree with them. Of course Jesus calls us to live for him. But devotion like this just seems reckless, too extreme. Her offering to Jesus just a bit too extravagant, too radical. Well, what the world considers a waste, too extreme, too extravagant a gesture of devotion to Jesus, well, Jesus sees it slightly differently. Jesus, he considers her acts appropriate, noble, good, beautiful. Look with me at verse 6. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She's done a noble thing for me." The NIV, the ESV say, "She has done a beautiful thing for me." You see, the world might see it one way, a waste. But Jesus sees it the right way. He shows us how we must see this. He insists that this unnamed woman did something noble. That what she did was beautiful. In fact, so beautiful, so noble, that her act of devotion was to go down into the history books, to be remembered for eternity. Why is it that what she did was so noble, so beautiful, so good, so appropriate? Well, because she did it. Look at verse 6 with me. For him. It was because of who Jesus is that made what she did so right and so good. Pouring this perfume out on me would have been a total waste. But she didn't pour this perfume on my head. She poured it on Jesus's head. Jesus isn't some ordinary guy. Actually, according to Mark, if we had been working our way through, Mark, the author of this account, according to him, Jesus is the Son of God, the promised Messiah, long-awaited Messiah, the King, the one with power over even the devil, over sickness, over nature, over death. According to Mark, he's unrivaled in power and authority. He can forgive sins. And he's come as a doctor to heal humanity's deepest spiritual sickness. You see, in the light of who Jesus is, actually no act of honoring or loving or worshipping him, no amount of devotion to him is too extreme. You see, this woman, recognizing just something of who Jesus is, knew that he was worthy of everything she had. I mean, if she had another one of these jars lying around, she'd probably have brought that as well. Knowing just something of who Jesus is, she couldn't hold anything back. How could she? He's her Savior, her Lord, her King. Well, do we recognize that actually Jesus is all of those things for us too? Some of you might know of the name Jim Elliot. He was a missionary to Ecuador, and he famously penned these words. They're well-known words. He wrote this in a journal, a diary journal. He wrote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Well, not long after writing those words in his diary, the tribe that he was trying to tell about Jesus, they killed him. In the end, he gave his life in service to Jesus. He gave his life to trying to make Jesus known. Did he give too much? Was he too extreme in his efforts? I mean, yeah, we're to live for Jesus, but to put your life on the line, that's crazy, right? Well, not at all. Jim Elliot, he knew what this woman in Mark 14 knew. That Jesus is worthy of everything we have and all that we are. There is nothing we could give him that would be too radical, too extreme, for he is worthy of it all. You see, Jesus, he doesn't call us to be one foot in, one foot out disciples. Christians, but only on Sundays. No, he calls us to be radical, 2 feet in disciples. Christians 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Disciples who devote our whole lives to him, knowing that he alone is worthy of all that we have and all that we are. Jesus, a few chapters earlier in Mark 8, he told his disciples that whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. You see, no act of love or devotion to Jesus is ever to be considered a waste, even if the world considers it one. We're not wasting our time when we dedicate it to meeting together, to praying, to reading, even memorizing scripture. Now, yeah, there is so much that we could be doing with that time, but when we choose to use that time devoting it to him, we're coming before our Savior and doing a beautiful, noble, God-honoring thing. Do we believe that? We should. You've probably heard of Christians who are extremely generous with their money, who choose to live well below their means, forfeiting luxury, forfeiting holidays, giving up meat, risking their own financial stability so that they can fund gospel ministry and people can know Jesus. Now, what makes their stories so great isn't the quantity of money that they give or the amount of sacrifices they make. What's so wonderful is that actually they've grasped exactly what this woman in Mark 14 had. That Jesus is worthy of all that they have and all that they are. And so they willingly lay it down for their king. They're not taking the Bible too far or living too radically. They're not crazy. No, they're taking seriously Christ's call to radical discipleship. You see, there is absolutely nothing more noble and beautiful than living totally and completely for Jesus. And if we think that sort of devotion is too extreme, well, actually, we're the ones who have the issue. If that's the case, we're clearly underestimating the value and worthiness of Jesus. You see, the Christian who submits to what the Bible says about their sexuality, even though it's difficult in their specific situation, they are recognizing that Jesus is worthy of their lives. What a beautiful act of love for Jesus, even though the world considers it backwards and confusing. When Jesus is placed over our careers, well, the world is utterly confounded. Who would do such a thing? When a promotion is declined so that time can be reserved for serving Christ, everyone thinks we're too radical, that we take that Bible just a bit too seriously, but they're wrong. When we honour Jesus rightly by devoting all that we have and all that we are to him, we're doing something incredible. Something noble, something beautiful. We're being true disciples of Jesus, not in part, but in whole. And the woman of Mark 14 is an incredible example of what that looks like. Jesus is worthy of all our honour, praise, love, and devotion. In fact, giving him anything less is shortchanging him. And actually, all Christians are called to hear this. All Christians are called to hear this story, to read it, and to view Jesus the way this unnamed woman viewed him. Well, what a challenge this has been to me the last week as I've been preparing this. And my prayer has been that it would be the same sort of challenge to all of us. For we really need to see Jesus the right way. We really need to see Jesus the way this woman does. But I quickly just want to draw out one further thing. You see, it isn't just because of who Jesus is that makes this woman's extravagant act of love and devotion so noble and beautiful, but also what Jesus came to do. It's in the light of what Jesus was literally about to do that this woman's radical and extreme act of love is shown to be truly appropriate. In fact, her act of devotion was totally right, totally appropriate. In fact, even more appropriate than she knew at the time. You see, for Jesus, he wasn't going to be around much longer. She could have sold her perfume and given the money to the poor. That would have been an amazing act. What a wonderful thing to do. But pouring it out on Jesus was even greater, even more appropriate. What a wonderful use of her £30,000 jar of perfume. Why? Well, because Jesus was just 2 days away from his death on the cross. Jesus said in verse 8, "She's anointed my body in advance for my burial." To those of us who maybe are still thinking that this woman's devotion to him was just that little bit too much, too extreme, too radical, well, Jesus wants us to view it in the light of his cross. The world might see her individual action as totally separate from what Jesus was about to do, but Mark, the author, he makes it really clear to us that we're to view this action in the light of the cross. As I mentioned, he does this really by sandwiching this act of devotion right between the chief priests plotting Jesus' death, verses 1 and 2, and Judas betraying Jesus to death, verses 10 and 11. And then right in the middle, when Jesus jumps in to defend this woman from the scolding of those present, again, he starts to speak of his death and his burial. He wants us to think of this act in the light of his act. Only when we see her actions in this light, in the light of Jesus' death, will we view it rightly. You see, she didn't just waste her perfume. She wasn't too extravagant in her service and devotion to Jesus. It's impossible to give too much to Jesus, to serve him too much, to sacrifice too much for him. Because he's the king who did not consider it too much to give his life for us. He did not consider it too extreme to take on our humanity and die a criminal's death in our place. He did not consider it too radical to literally become a sacrifice for our sin. See, in the light of his death for us, no act of love, honour, or devotion should be considered too extreme. He's worthy of all that we could possibly give him, our lives included. He's worthy of all that we are. And this is why Paul tells the church in Rome, Martin helpfully read it at the start of the service, it's why Paul, speaking to the church in Rome, he calls them to present their bodies as living sacrifice, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Let's be less like those scolding this wonderful woman for being wasteful and foolish. Let's be less like them and more like her, and do all that we can to honour and worship our Saviour King. Why don't I pray for us now that we would do exactly that? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful story of this woman who recognized something of Jesus and knew him to be worthy of everything. Lord God, we pray that we would see Jesus the way she did, that we would see him as our wonderful Saviour, worthy of everything we are and all that we have. Help us this week to think about the way she viewed Jesus and be challenged to think more like that. We pray that your Spirit would grow in us a love and devotion to Jesus like hers. And we pray that you would be doing this in us for your glory. Amen.